Well, good morning, Elk Plain Community Church, or you may be watching this in the evening, afternoon, any time of the day. So during this time of COVID-19, social distancing, all kinds of things that we've never heard of before this last week, we are not able to meet, and that's a real loss. Really, we'll miss gathering together with the church family, and that's something that the Lord knows that we need and He instructs us to do. So we are looking at this as a temporary thing. We are doing this in hopes that we're doing our part to help stop the spread of this virus. But in the meantime, God's word must be declared, and this is what we're going to do here. We're going to make use of technology to do that. I'm not particularly comfortable sitting in my office here in front of a camera with a big light shining on me and going through all the technical details of doing this, but I'm going to do it because I know that this is the Lord stretching me. And so I am going to fully cooperate with that. And so I'm here doing that. And I hope that you will be stretched too. And one thing we know is that God's word can be taught really effectively by using technology in a place like this where we can't fellowship so much like this, but the teaching of God's word can be very effective. And I can give my sermon very much like I do on a Sunday. So I'm going to do that today. As we do this, we're meeting here. The main thing is that the teaching of God's word still has a prime place in our life, and that we still make that room for it, and we do that regularly. And also, we're studying ourselves, we're reading, and we're making the most use of it. But as a church family, I hope that you tune in. I hope that you'll be here listening and going through this with me, this adventure, and that we're all doing it together. So let's take a moment and pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you that you're here with us through this. And I just pray, Lord, that you will get us through all the technical parts of this and that you will really bless us by your presence through the study of your word together. And I just pray for anyone who's anxious or feeling stressed by the situation or being deeply impacted by it. I pray for them. I lift up those who are in healthcare, who are really on the front lines with this, and I just pray for them that you would protect them and just provide health for them. And those who become infected by this virus, Lord, I just pray that you would bring rapid healing to them and that you would keep those who are especially vulnerable safe. And then lastly, Lord, just grow us through this. That's what we're asking. In many ways, this can be an adventure if we just trust you with it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope that you'll be following along in your Bible. I'm going to begin by just reading the verses that we're looking at today. So I'm picking up right where I left off in 1 John. And it's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. So just those five verses today as we go through this. So let's read the verses together to begin with. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. All right, let's look at those verses here as we do this. So starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I think when I look at these verses as a whole, I see that there's a command that's given. The command is given right up front. It's given to love one another. Now remember, in the context of all this, that love is just a big theme of 1 John, because what appears to be the case is those who had left the church and were now trying to deceive the church were not themselves loving as Christ would love, and that would make perfect sense because they really did not have a relationship with Christ. Now, if you have a relationship with Christ, if you're born again, what God does is he gives you a new nature. And in that new nature, you love. You love him and you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you look at this verse, it says, gives the command, it says, let us love one another. And then it tells us that love doesn't originate in us. Love comes from God. It says, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we know and we can see in this that this will be true of someone who is a child of God, someone who knows God, not just knows about God, but knows God, has a relationship with God and is growing in that relationship. That as that's true of you, when that is true of you, if that is true of you, then God teaches you to love. Now remember, love is not just a warm feeling or something that you have towards somebody, but that love is self-sacrificial and giving. And we'll see more about that in the verses to come here. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So again, we know that John states things in a really strong way. This is strongly stated, but it says, if you look at a person and that person fails the love test, they fail it for a reason, because they do not really have God. Now, it's a challenging verse, because I think if you hold that verse to any of us, there are times when maybe we're not loving, or we appear to be not loving. Sometimes somebody thinks we're not loving and they're just wrong about that. We are loving. They say we're not loving because we don't go along with everything that they want us to go along with. Or sometimes we have a bad moment. But when you look at the overall flavor of your life, if you are a child of God and a follower of Christ, it should be one of love, one where you are willing to put others before yourselves. So in the case of what John was facing here as he's writing, these false teachers, these group that had left the church, they did not show love in their life, and it was evident by their works that they did not really know God. And so this is something that should be true of all believers, and not just should be true, is true of all believers, that all believers love. And if somebody is all about themselves, then that's really showing a lack of God in their life. The verses go on and say, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So we could think, and we look at this as, love is not something that when you think about God as being spirit and invisible that you can see, but you can see it in Christ. So God's love became something that is visible, that we can see. And John said he was even able to touch and grasp and spend time with, that God made his love manifest in Jesus. God sent his only Son into the world. And he did that. Jesus came on a mission so that we could live through him. And that's one of those verses that reminds us that no matter what, if would have happened to us in this coronavirus situation, that again, we're okay because we have Jesus. And more importantly, Jesus has us. And he came so that we might live, and not just live in this life, but to have eternal life. So when we think about what the gold standard of love is, it's Christ's love for us. It's the gospel. It's the Father's love. His willingness to send his Son into the world to give his life so that we might live. And that's what love is. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So again, the standard for love is the gospel. And when we think about the fact that we need to love our neighbor, foundationally, it's not our love that it all rests on, but it rests on God's love. We do that because God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And the propitiation is a big theological word, but what it means is that he is appeasing God's wrath, that is his righteous wrath for our sins. He is appeasing that and making us acceptable in God's sight. And that is God's love. And remember, When we think about what love is, if we want an example and we want to really know what it is, I mean, we have great things in the Bible. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 really describes what love is. But the ultimate picture and example of that is the Father sending His Son to die for us, and the Son, Jesus Christ, willingly dying for us, laying His life down for us. That's love. That's what it looks like. That's what we're supposed to follow, and that's the example that we're supposed to follow. And so if you and I are to love as Christ loved, then it's a self-sacrificing love. Again, you know, we could have warm feelings towards people. I think He wants us to have that, and we're going to miss each other, not seeing each other. But love is being willing to lay down yourself, your resources, basically anything you have, to not hold on to it tight and say, this is for me, this is for me, but to willing to give to another and give on their behalf. And Christ loved us so much, He went the very distance for us, and He died for us so that we might live. And this is needed because of our sins. You know, when we look at this, we think, man, God is full of wrath against our sin. That's righteous. That's what's right. He should be full of wrath against our sins, and He's right to do so. And you and I, we never could stand before a holy God and say, God, why wouldn't You just accept me the way I am? Why won't You accept that person? Why does that person need to have Jesus? Every single one of us needs to have Jesus. If you look at what we've done and who we are sinners in need of a Savior. We deserve death. It goes on and says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So the command is repeated, and I think it's summed up here as we look at it. Why is it that you and I should love one another? It's because of how much God loved us. Now, I can think of it like this too. If God so loves this person over here, and God loves me, and I love God, shouldn't I love that person the same way that God loves them? I mean, I should have the desire to love people as God loves them, to see them as He sees them. And that might even be difficult people that I don't get along with, but I would pray that God would help me to see them as He sees them. So continuing here in verse 12, this is the last verse we'll look at today. It says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Thinking about what that's saying and why he leads with that, no one has ever seen God. We know that we can't see God completely in all His glory. We couldn't take it. We would die. But we know that we've seen Christ. Yes, so we can say that we've seen God in that way. He's made us, He's given us the ability to see Him and to see His love. We have that. But another way that people can see God is in the love that we have for one another. So when he says no one has ever seen God, I think it's like he's saying no one has ever seen God, but they will see God in your love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So people will see God in a complete and perfect way, everything that He desires them to see, if we love one another. And that's what He's calling us to do. That's what these verses call us to do. Let's remind ourselves of what the commandment is. The commandment is this, love one another. Love one another. I think first and foremost, this in the context of this book, it's to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think also Christ's love teaches us to love the non-believer also. I mean, we were all non-believers. We were all yet sinners when Christ died for us. And so we want to love the non-believer. But we want to have a special love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the reasons given, here are some of the reasons given in that verse. Love is from God. Love is not something that we could ever have without God. He invented it. He made it. I think we can't love fully unless we involve God in it. People can love partially who are not believers, but their love is incomplete. It's basically lacking eternity and the eternal nature. So we know that love is from God, and so that's one of the reasons why we need to love one another. Also, this passage says that God is love. God is love. And I think we ought to be careful with that, because I once had a man tell me that God is love, so love is God, turning it around, and I don't think that that's right at all. I think this is saying something along the lines of God is so perfect in His love. When we think about what love is, we want to find a picture. If there was such a thing as this, we could have a picture of God and see what it is. And we do have that in words in the Bible, that we want to see what God is. We want to see what love is. We look at God. God is love. He's the perfect example of love. And not only that, His love is perfect and completely pure. So God is love. And then the third reason I have is the gospel, but it's that God so loves you. You know, we think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that's a reason why we ought to love one another, is because of the way that God loves us. So it's incompatible for you to receive all the love and all the grace and all the mercy and forgiveness that God loves you with and to not be willing to give that to someone else. So there are two ways, though, I see in this passage that God enables us to love. Two ways. The first way is through the new birth. And I listed John 3:3 here. And in the new birth, this passage that talks about that, and it shortly precedes John 3:16, is when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And there are only one, there's only one type of Christian in this world. That's a born again Christian, born again believer. And so we need the new birth. We need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And we need to be born again to love in this way. And so we have that. And it talks about that in this passage. It says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God. And that's to be born again. And then also the second way that I see that he enables us is knowing Jesus. It's through that relationship with Jesus. I put Philippians 3:10 here, is that we wish to know God and the power of his resurrection. And so that is what God does. You know, we don't have everything figured out when we get born again, when we're saved, but he starts a process in this. Another way I could put this is sanctification, that we're becoming more and more like Jesus, but that's happening through a relationship we have with Christ. We begin to know him, not just know about him, but to know him. So being born again and knowing Jesus are the two ways that I see in this passage that he enables us to love one another. And then finally, I just want to close with a couple personal applications for the day. First of all is, how are we to love others during normal circumstances? Maybe you see where I'm going with this. But when I say normal circumstances, I mean when we're not practicing social distancing, we're not doing these things. I think it does involve spending time together, sharing life together, being close together. You know, sometimes we have the opportunity to do some things we enjoy, like shake hands or give appropriate hugs, you know, these kind of things as we do that. We love being together. We love being close. We love gathering together. We love being there when a need arises. We can take meals to each other. We can just be there, just the presence when somebody's hurting. All these things we need. We have those needs for relationships in our life. Sometimes it's just to have fun, to go golfing or go on a vacation together or just do all kinds of things, but to do it together and to be there. Those are some of the things we do. Now, within that, one of the things we have to do is we have to make sure that Christ is a part of anything that we do. So one of the best ways that we ever show love to anyone is by leading them to Christ. And it's sure a lot easier to do that, to meet and talk with people, when you can actually spend time with them and do it in person. And so the most loving thing that you and I can ever do is to either share the gospel with somebody or encourage them in their walk and to really be in it together. And so under normal circumstances, those are all things we can do. There are many more things we can do. We can visit people in the hospital. A big one we can do, now this is one we can do now, today, we can pray for each other. I think what under normal circumstances, we could stand there side by side within a 6-foot bubble and we can pray with each other face to face. And we're limiting ourselves more on that. Okay, but now let's look at how can we love others during the COVID-19 pandemic. So how can we love each other during these unusual circumstances that we're in? Well, I think one thing is, there is nothing that could stop you from praying for another brother or sister in Christ. So I would think that if you got really systematic and made a list of people and started praying for people like never before, and even kept up with these people and called them, that we could lift our voices up to God together and pray better than we've been praying. And we could really grow in our prayer life, and we can love people through prayer. And I think that we can definitely use technology, whether it be the old technology of the telephone and just reaching out and calling somebody in that way and talking to them and checking in with them. We've got our smartphones and ways to do FaceTime and things like that. Also, conferencing, these kind of things. Make use of technology, learn to do that. But the idea of that is to talk to people, to get information, to see where they're at. Maybe some of the things that you're going to talk about have really nothing to do with this pandemic, but just have to do with what's going on in your life, because there's still a lot of things going on in life. And so use that to reach out and to touch people. Some people actually may need help with something, and there are opportunities. Although I will say that in our church, we've had many more people volunteer to do things and ask for help than people have expressed a need for those things at this point. But who knows? Right now, we have an army of people ready to help. And if we have needs, then we'll have people that have said, hey, I want to help. We can get you out there. We can get you helping with that. So I would say during this time, one of the ways to love others is really to begin purposely paying attention and not checking out, not just using this as an opportunity to just have a lot of alone time. You will, that'll come with it. But really make use of the time, be purposeful about it. Maybe make a list of five people that you're going to especially connect with. Maybe take out that church directory and just make it something where I'm going to go through this church directory and I'm going to be purposeful about calling people in the church directory. And maybe you'll do the same for your family and other people outside of the church. So those are some of the ways I think that we can really connect with others during this time. And I hope you'll do that. I hope that you'll answer the phone when I call and not be surprised. And maybe some of you guys will call me as well. I look forward to talking with you. And I actually look forward to the day when this is all over, it's back to normal, and we are taking communion together. Let's do that. Let's do that the first day we get back together.